Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Victory lane? Yeah, it's even better with Chumba by my side. Race to ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. CTNCs. 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Fourth and final hour. Darren, Donick, and Chase here on ESPN 102.5 The Game on this Tuesday afternoon. Don't forget, here at ESPN The Game Nashville, we've got your World Series coverage covered. It Kirk Casale on in the first hour of the program, former Vanderbilt Commodore, Cincinnati Reds catcher, talking about his thoughts. Game one is tonight, and we've got you covered, presented by Gary Force Acura. Tonight, right here on 102.5 The Game, joined in progress will be game one, Rays and Dodgers, following the Rick Stockstill live show. So tune in tonight. You've got Rick Stockstill talking about MTSU football, and then it'll take you right into game one, Rays and Dodgers, right here on 102.5 The Game. And as you heard Kirk Casale say, he likes the Rays in this series. Last year we had him on this time. He said he liked the Nationals to win the World Series, and he nailed it. So can he nail it again 2 years in a row? He says, take the Rays. Let's head over to West End. Speaking of Vanderbilt, let's bring in their head football coach, Derek Mason. He is on the line with us. Coach, how you doing?
What's going on, fellas? Good to be on with you.
Well, it's always good to talk to you, and obviously we would be talking about a game that didn't take place last week. Your game against Missouri was canceled. That has been postponed to December 12th, and obviously you've been dealing with a lot of adversity as we've been talking to you on these Tuesdays. So let's just start there. How is everything over on the campus of Vanderbilt and your football program? How's it going right now?
Well, you're better now than we were a week ago.
Sure.
We understand, you know, when guys are coming back, a couple of guys have trickled human back in, whether it be injury, whether it be COVID-related. We're getting healthier. We've still been on the grass. Even though we didn't play this past week, obviously most people know that the threshold, for playing is 53 available, you know, scholarship players. We definitely look to hit that as we get ready for Ole Miss next week. But we're in that bye pattern right now, so it's just about getting guys back fundamentally, doing the things that we need to do to get ourselves ready as we head into a game week next week on October 31st versus Ole Miss.
I realize everybody's facing adversity in 2020. There's really not much that's been normal. But is this the most juggling you've had to do and the most adversity you've had to face since you've been at the helm at Vanderbilt?
Yeah, absolutely. I think, every year, presents something. My first year here, as most know, was different. You come in, you want to make, a lot of changes. And really what you realize was that, there were some things that should have stayed the same. But you know what? Wisdom tells you, wisdom is a great teacher. Wisdom helps you, understand. Experience is a great teacher, and wisdom helps you understand exactly where you need to go. And that's what we're experiencing right now. You look at, where you sit right now, this football team is capable of playing good football. We're on three right now, and we're really looking to move this thing forward. But we understand that there's been challenges in the mix. And so with that, you sort of had to embrace the challenges, lean into it a little bit, worry about the things that you can control, because everything out there, is really not at your discretion. You don't get a chance to choose how many guys you have. You don't get a chance to choose to play or not play based on, protocols put in place. I think what you got to do is just be flexible, understand that the opportunities you get are the ones you have to take advantage of, and let's continue to move forward. You can't get down. You got to keep your eyes forward focused, and you got to make sure, man, you keep your head up, because in this, a lot of things can happen. You just need to make sure that you're ready for the things that you want, so you can ride from where you are to where you want to go.
We didn't get a chance to talk to you, Coach, last Tuesday following the loss to South Carolina. Mm-hmm. Was that because your numbers were so low in that game? Is that what eventually caught up to you throughout the course of the game?
Hey, listen, we play the game. Nobody really wants to make excuses about what happened. I thought we had our opportunities. I mean, when you look at it, we were in the red zone twice, came away with no points.
Yep.
That's not what you want, okay? What was a 10-0 ball game at halftime, could have very easily been, a 14-10 ball game or a 10-10 ball game. And I think the energy is different. I think you know guys are playing different. But when you don't earn that, okay, you don't get the right to feel that way. And so obviously we made some adjustments, and we got hit on some big runs late in the in the third quarter, and they had a run on points towards the end of the third quarter, early part of the fourth quarter, and you know what was a close game becomes, you know, like somewhat of a game that sort of starts to get out of hand because, you know, I mean, you don't do the little things right. So, I mean, this is a collective effort, a collective group. But, again, it's all information. You take the information, and it gives you, you know, a chance to look at it. How can you be better? Okay, knowing that you're getting guys back and that you do have another opportunity to play a game versus an opponent in your conference that you think and you match up well with. So we'll see how we can pay it forward as we've had a chance to sit down a little bit and look towards Ole Miss.
When you've sat down a little bit and you've thought about your next opponent and you think about your body of work through these three games, I know there's probably a lot of things that you need to address and are currently addressing with your team. But if I asked you a really tough question and said, you got to narrow it down to one thing you need to put the most emphasis on and focus on the most at getting better at, how would you answer that? What do you think the one thing, a heavy emphasis that you need to see your team get better at, how would you answer what that one thing would be?
Just execute for a 60-minute ball game.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if you're talking about one thing, it comes back to execution for 60 minutes. It doesn't mean that everything is going to be perfect. You know, but football is not a perfect game, man. We see mistakes all the time. But when you talk about execution, at least execute the call, okay? I mean, execute, you know, in alignments. Execute population to the ball. And listen, okay, man, will there be a tackle? Will there be a foo ball? Will there be a mistake made? Yeah. Yeah, those things happen. But playing a 60-minute ball game gives you a chance to win. You can play 55 minutes. You can play 59 minutes and still lose. You know, you saw the Titans the other day have to take it into overtime, right? That's what it comes down to, man. You got to play, you know, like what's given to you, okay, and what's needed and necessary to get to the other side. And then doing so, I mean, we haven't put together a 60-minute ball game yet. And when Vanderbilt puts together 60-minute ball games, okay, we saw it last year versus Missouri. Things sort of go our way. So let's do that. It was close versus Texas A&M, but it wasn't a 60-minute ball game. We need more. We got more in us. So let's play better. Let's find those things that we can dive into and lay in, okay, and sort of bathe in a little bit, okay, man, and make that ours. Sometimes the rough spots and the hard places are the places that we have to live because that's where games are won.
Derek Mason is with us, Vanderbilt football coach. So with all of that said, Derek, when you look at your next opponent, which will be on Halloween against Ole Miss, it's a rivalry game. These guys every year, and – we've talked about this before, talked to other coaches, that there is that something little bit extra when you have a rivalry game. With everything that your team has gone through in the first three games, all the COVID stuff, is that like the perfect recipe for you when getting all your guys together to have that little extra against a really good team in Ole Miss?
Yeah, I think the opportunity is the one you want. You know, Ole Miss, a great football team, Lane Kiffin, great coach. They got good players. They've got to come, you know, here to Nashville. We need to play our best game on October 31st. You know, you only get one. That's the only one that I know of that we're going to be playing on the 31st. That's the opportunity that we get. We need to drive it forward. Hey, it becomes one game, one-week seasons, and it starts with Ole Miss. So that's where we got to put our focus. Energy, focus, attitude, process, effort. Let's go.
How important is it with the extra time off with a young quarterback in Ken Seals that you can have some of that time with him to maybe go over some things in more detail than you wouldn't when you don't have the extra time off?
Right. I think this time has really, you know, been worked to his advantage. Okay. And the advantage of, you know, our offensive coaches, being able to look at, you know, everything from, you know, our runs, maybe top protections to, you know, man, our schemes. You know, everybody thinks it's about schemes. It's really not, man. It's about players. So what players should be touching the ball? How can we protect our quarterback? What are we doing? And how can we take opportunities, you know, in the play action game to give him, advanced protection and making sure, man, that he's got a chance to push the ball down the field. Like, what does it look like? I mean, how do we create horizontal space, like, in the field while you're pushing vertical routes down the field? Because he sees the field. Accurate quarterback. He's got a big arm. I think the biggest thing is just being able to, you know, bring his reads to him, protect him, and make sure that when we want him to get the ball out of his hands, he does that. And he's been able to see a lot of pressure, you know, over the last week or so. So and we tried to run pass under pressure almost every day so that we give him pressure looks, some zero looks, being in the red zone so he understands, you know, what he needs to do with the football if he doesn't like it. These are the things that we've had a chance to work on that sometimes during the season, but you just don't get time. You know, if you're not in a little bit of a pause or you don't have a bye week. So that's what we've been able to do. I think we've helped him. And, you know, if we're helping our quarterback, we're helping this team.
I want to ask you just a general question, something that we were talking about in our last segment with as it pertains with the Titans of, you know, if you're having an MVP conversation, is it Tannehill, is it Henry? But as a defensive coach, you're trying to scheme that. You're trying to scheme a quarterback that you know that can rip you apart through the air, and you're trying to scheme a running back that's a bulldozer. Well, how do you even tackle that as a defensive coordinator?
Yeah, you know, I mean, I think it starts with the run game. I mean, you've got to be able to stop the run game because you can't bleed on both ends. You can't find yourself leaking oil on both sides. You just can't do it. So, I mean, if you got a choice, okay, like make the quarterback beat you because you know Derrick Henry is not going to stop. And the one thing about Tannehill is that, you know, when you looked at his growth and his maturation, you know, under Vrabel and what they've done offensively, you know, he's making the right decisions. He knows where to go with the football. He looks like the quarterback that was drafted, I think, by the Dolphins back who knows when. I mean, he's a talented quarterback that's playing with confidence, the guys around him believing, and – you know, like when you have something like that going on, I truly believe, man, in the 1-2 combo, you know, is lethal. But you gotta stop the run. Start with the run, and what you wind up doing is pattern pressuring, you know, like the quarterback and changing up the looks on the quarterback. Bring pressure, and it is pressure. Bring pressure and or simulated pressures, and be able to, you know, like get underneath, like some of the route combos that they're giving you. But because the run is so good, the play action kills you, and that's where they're making money right now. They're making money, you know, in the play action game. Even when they don't have a hard run play action, they're being able to get backers to suck up. They're creating, you know, levels between second and third level defenders that are wide open, and their receivers and tight ends are just making defenses pay. So stop the run.
You didn't know you were going to play analyst today, did you?
I didn't. Hopefully, man, I gave you enough info.
Oh, it was good. It was very good. Hey, Coach, we appreciate it as always, and we'll be talking to you next week about a game, about Ole Miss, so we're looking forward to it.
Me too. You gentlemen, take care. Let's anchor down. We'll be back October 31st. Come and see us. Let's get it.
Derek Mason, Vanderbilt football coach, joins us every Tuesday at 1 o'clock. We'll come back. Mitch after Mason, Mitch Light from The Athletic. We'll talk college football with him on Darren Donick and Chase, ESPN 102.5 The Game.
Good stuff from Derek Mason over on Weston. Vanderbilt off this week. Of course, their game the week prior was, or last weekend was postponed with Missouri. It'll be made up on December 12th, and then they have their off week this week. It'll be Ole Miss on Halloween. We bring in Mitch Light from The Athletic to talk college football and SEC. Mitch, how you doing?
I'm good, Darren. How are you?
Doing fantastic. Let's start in Knoxville, which kind of got everything going on Saturday morning here at 11 a.m. I'll just say this. I've watched that series, Kentucky and Tennessee, my whole life. I know the history is very, very slanted one way. Kentucky had not won a game in Knoxville since 1984. I think Tennessee had won 33 of the last 35. And, you know, there's been a lot of heartbreak losses, but there's also been some lopsided losses in there as well. I did not see this game coming. I thought Tennessee would bounce back. Clearly, I was completely wrong. I thought Tennessee would probably win by, you know, a couple touchdowns, 17 points, pretty much be in control the whole game. It was far from that. Let's just start with the Kentucky side first. I mean, when you hear about opportunistic defenses, I think right now they are the poster child for being an opportunistic defense. What is that, 10 takeaways in the last 16 possessions or something like that?
Yeah, it's been – they are zagging when everyone is zigging or whatever the phrase is. The SEC, we've been talking about offenses this year and prolific passing attacks. Kentucky's like, I don't just think in passing yards. Just, you know, I'll sit back while you make mistakes and force turnovers. Dating back to last year, in their last eight wins, Kentucky's averaged 70 passing yards per game in their eight wins.
Wow.
That's 560 passing yards combined. That's like, that's you know, some Alabama on a decent day nowadays. and they have 107 and 73 in their two wins this year. You know, it's a formula that is working. I don't know if Mark Stoops wants to rely on this formula long term. You can't, you know, defensive coaches like to preach turnovers that we coach them. And, you know, we work on it. It's the data suggests it's largely, you know, it's a 50-50 proposition. You know, one season you might force a lot of turnovers. The next year it's the other way. So, you know, certain teams do things to force turnovers. But for the most part, you probably shouldn't rely on them too much. But it has been it's been fascinating to watch. And to your point, Darren, like, everyone has thoughts on games. And I'm with you. I thought Tennessee would win the game. I thought they'd bounce back. Sure, saying Kentucky could go in there and win was kind of a bold statement, but if you thought that the game was going to turn out like that, I don't even the most, you know, optimistic Kentucky fan couldn't have thought the way. It was just soul-crushing the way they just drove the ball up and down the field in the second half. So credit to Kentucky and Mark Stoops and that staff. They obviously have a formula right now that's working, and just a great road win for that program.
Yeah. Now, on the flip side, things have gone the wrong direction for Tennessee. And let's just start with the most important position, the quarterback position. I mean, here's a fifth-year guy, a guy who came out of high school as a five-star recruit, 3 years now as the starter, and we're kind of still talking about the same stuff. It's really baffling that Jarrett Garantano, that, like I said, we're still having the same discussion piece, and it's also a little baffling to me, Mitch, that Jeremy Pruitt and his staff have been praised, rightfully so, about their work, you know, on the recruiting trails and bringing in some big time talent into Knoxville. But yet, I actually believe him when he says that's their best option. Like, how can that still be their best option when you kind of know what you're getting out of Garantano?
Yeah, you kind of hope he would turn the corner this year and as a 50-year senior, but. You're right. We have been talking about the same flaws, the same inconsistencies for 2 or 3 years. And, you know, I don't always put a ton of stock in what coaches say about their quarterback position because they're, you know, they're speaking to their team. They're speaking to their players. I'm not saying that that's the case, that they don't have a better option. They probably have guys, you know, obviously Harrison Bailey, freshman, that I know a lot of fans want to see, and some of those other guys. I can't imagine that Garantano is going to be the quarterback the rest of the year if he continues to be this inconsistent. It's just not prudent for the future of this program. But one thing that always stuck with me, and I'm not saying coaches make poor decisions or we just need to sit back and trust everything coaches tell us about their personnel. I just remember interviewing Bobby Johnson once for a preseason story for Athlon, and I can't even remember the year. Something to do with the quarterbacks, and, you know, fans wanted one guy and another guy was starting, and I turned off the recorder and he looked at me like he wasn't necessarily mad at me. It was just sort of like just speaking frustration. He said, the people actually think we're not going to start the best guy that we think gives us the best chance. Like he was flabbergasted that people thought he was like playing games or not starting the best guy. So again, not saying that coaches are always right, but they're the ones that know their personnel the best. So, it's going to be a storyline the rest of the year, and if he doesn't start playing better, you know, there's probably going to be a change in the next few weeks.
Yep. Everybody had Arkansas pegged as a bottom feeder in the SEC without a doubt. What is going on there? What a nice win for. I mean, they have been anything but that. They're 2-2, and quite honestly, they're dangerously close, kind of like Kentucky, to their record being even better. I mean, I think it's interesting. Kentucky and Arkansas, you know, a play here, play there, their season could be totally different through four games. But what's going on with Sam Pittman right now with Arkansas, where they're 2-2 and look really good?
Yeah, nothing fluky about it, like you said. And they looked good in the opener for a half against Georgia. First of all, you know, I think we've talked about this, and this isn't, you know, Sam Pittman has clearly done a great job. And he's, if you haven't read it, Andy Staples at The Athletic had a really good story about the Sam Pittman hire and how unconventional it was hiring an offensive line coach. But he's pushing all the right buttons. But I think the question is, too, how were they so bad the last few years? I know it's not all recruiting, but this is not a program that didn't have talent. They have been recruiting at a top 25 level. Their classes have been consistently in that top 30 range, I guess I should say. So I think there was some talent in there. And just, you guys know sports, once things start to go poorly, you lose belief and they can steamroll. And they've been really, really bad the last few years. So I think they probably were punching all the right buttons in the preseason. And then when they saw some positive results in that first half of the Georgia game, it kind of made some of those guys into believers. And then they broke through and won that next week. So I think most teams in the SEC not have enough talent, not necessarily to win their division or win, but with the right coaching and the right leadership and the right belief that they can win some games that none of us thought they could win.
Kind of along the same lines, Mitch, as Scarantano, a guy like Kellen Mond at A&M, with all of his experience and, you know, how off, you know, way offenses are in college football, I'm just amazed that he looks so incredibly average this season, yet here we are talking about a Texas A&M team that's 3-1.
Yeah, I think you're being a little harsh on him. He was great in the Florida game. I thought he made some huge throws. He was very, very efficient in that game. I think against Mississippi State, I didn't watch a ton of this game. It was two other games on the 3 o'clock window that I was watching. I'm looking at his numbers right now, 13 of 23, two touchdowns. He really didn't have to do much in that game. It was just sort of like let Mississippi State make some mistakes. And, you know, A&M didn't have a prolific offensive game. I think Mond, I would put Mond in the more consistent category than Jared Gantano. Maybe hasn't lived up to expectations. I think that happens a lot as media and fans. When someone takes over a job as a freshman or a redshirt freshman, we kind of give them almost too much credit for being efficient and effective so young in their careers. If they don't just keep getting better year by year, maybe that sometimes we feel like they're not living up to their hope. I mean, living up to expectations. I think he's a solid, the top five quarterback in the SEC, and I think he's having a decent year.
Okay.
We're talking to Mitch Light from The Athletic, and Mitch, where are you at on the Gus bus right now with Auburn? Is the Gus bus close to being taken out of town after last week's loss to South Carolina, or what do you think?
I mean, this is just great. I mean, to the fact that it's just every year the same conversations about Gus Malzahn or whoever the coach is at Auburn. It's just it's kind of a rite of passage. And if it's October, we're talking about the coaching situation at Auburn. You know, they have not they've not looked great. They were fortunate to beat Arkansas. They controlled the game early against South Carolina. It did not take advantage of situations. Bo Nix is kind of what the Kellen Mond thing we talked about. A guy comes in as a freshman, a five-star guy, makes a huge throw in his first game against Oregon, and we're just kind of anointing him as the next great one because he's a five-star and we know who his dad is. He hasn't been very good. They had three big turnovers in that game. South Carolina scored off all three turnovers. There's no really other options. Joey Gatewood transferred. He's at Kentucky now. He's backing up Terry Wilson. Things aren't looking great for Gus right now. I think in the preseason, most expected them to be a top two or three team in the SEC West. They don't look that like that right now, Chase. But if there's one thing about Auburn football and Gus, whenever you think you've got them figured out, you're completely wrong. So I wouldn't be surprised if they turn on late in the year and, you know, he'll save his job one more time. But it's definitely emerging as one of the top storylines in the SEC.
a non-SEC story. I was very, very surprised to see North Carolina, I should say, lose to Florida State. I watched a lot of that game, and Florida State in the first half, I mean, they just dominated and pulled away. North Carolina tried to battle back, but was that, in your opinion, a case of just they were overlooking, North Carolina was overlooking a not very good Florida State team, or what do you think happened there?
Yeah, shocking development from the week, because it's not like Florida State had just been losing and hadn't looked great. I mean, it had looked okay and just losing close games. They've been horrible this year so far, and North Carolina had been really, really good offensively. So I'm with you. I was kind of on the secondary TV, and I just kind of kept looking over and like, wow. I was just surprised. I don't know if you're North Carolina. That's not – if you're North Carolina and you're looking past Florida State, that's not very wise, because we know programs' DNAs, and I don't care how down Florida State might be or how hot North Carolina is. Anytime you're North Carolina football and you go into Tallahassee, you got to treat it like a big game, because you know they've got players on that team. They've got the right not elite Florida State personnel, but they've got personnel on that team that can beat anyone in that league except for Clemson. I think it's a credit to Mike Norvell in that whole operation there, because a few weeks ago, you know, head coach is out with COVID. They're struggling to beat Jacksonville State. People are like, what's the deal with Florida State? How far have they fallen? We've just given up on them completely. So for them, you know, they made a move at quarterback. Travis gave them a little bit of a lift. Long term, I think he's going to have to develop into a better passer for them to be a legit contender. But I just think that's just a great win for Florida State. And just a reminder to North Carolina, there's going to be some speed bumps as you kind of climb back up that food chain in college football. They're a really good program that's getting better, but they're not good enough to go into Tallahassee and not play their best and beat Florida State.
Mitch, I have good news for you. Friday night, it's finally here. The Big Ten Conference. They're going to join everybody except for the Pac-12, and they're going to start playing with Illinois and Wisconsin, obviously Nebraska, Ohio State the next day. But as we've seen with the SEC, there have obviously been scheduling changes, and the SEC has had the space in which to make that work. The Big Ten, it's going to be harder to do. So what are you expecting as they get ready to start their schedule?
Yeah, there's stricter protocols. Don't have them all in front of me, but isn't it like 21 days? If you if you're diagnosed with COVID, you have to sit for 21 days, or you know, so there's less weeks off, there's less cushion in there, and there's stricter protocols. So I'm really looking forward to the Big Ten season. I think Saturday night is Minnesota and Michigan, which is going to be a great game. Minnesota's was really improved last year. PJ Fleck getting better and better. I think Ohio State is. I work with our Ohio State writer Bill Landis, so I've learned more about Ohio State football in the past 3 or 4 months than I ever thought I would want to know. And you just realize how talented they are. They are, and we know this, they're good every year, but they're Clemson, Alabama, Georgia, good talent. And, you know, the way I explain how good Ohio State is, and I know a little bit of a tangent here, Chase, we had a mailbag where readers asked questions for Ohio State writer. And one of the questions was complaining about a recruit, why they signed him, can this underrated guy actually contribute, what was the staff thinking? And I looked him up. He was like the number 300 player in the country, which for, you know, 90% of the schools out there would be the best recruit in the entire class. And this is good. Ohio State fans are complaining because they signed a 4-star guy who was only the 300th player or 400, whatever he was. So they are really, really talented. Justin Fields obviously is great there. Penn State is going to be an interesting, you know, team to watch. So I'm ready for Big Ten football.
Actually, Michigan, Minnesota is Saturday night on ABC. The Friday night contest, as we talked to Brad Hopkins in the second hour, will be the Fighting Illini and Wisconsin at Camp Randall Stadium. That'll be the Friday night game.
On the Big Ten Network.
On Big Ten Network, yes.
Yeah, so good stuff there. Illinois, hey, went to a bowl game last year. They beat Wisconsin. So signs of life out of Lovie Smith there, one of the chronically underachieving programs. Not just in the Big Ten, but nationally. So I forgot he was there. Yeah, they missed out on his son, though. Son went to Purdue. So, Friday night, I'll be watching some Big Ten football.
Last thing quickly, if BYU just runs the table and destroys everybody like they've been doing, because of their schedule, no one's going to give them the time of day. True?
largely true. You know, I'm a big proponent of margin of victory. How'd you do it? And the, you know, I think that's that their what 7-point win over UTSA could really, really hurt them.
Yep.
Because if you're BYU and you're not really playing anyone, you have to dominate every opponent. And they dominated Houston in the second half of the fourth quarter last week. That ended up a nice win. But you can't make a playoff case by a nice fourth quarter against Houston in a rout over Navy when Navy, like, literally hasn't had a contact practice all season. So they're better than we all expected. Kudos to that staff, because Ketani Solaki was you know, kind of on the hot seat at his alma mater a couple years ago, and they've got a really good team. But Darren, I agree with you. And I'm usually a proponent of giving the little guy, you know, not necessarily saying they deserve to be in the playoff, but hey, let's give them a longer look than a lot of people. Let's really look at the schedule. But I'm with you. There's not enough meat on the bone there.
Yeah. Good stuff as always. Appreciate it. You have a great week, and we'll do it again next Tuesday.
All right. Take care, guys. See ya.
All right, that is Mitch Light from The Athletic. We will come back more on this Tuesday. Darren, Donick, and Chase, ESPN 102.5 The Game. But first, a word about my good friends over at Cool Springs MD. Yeah, you've heard me talk about them for years because I've been going there for years, and they've been helping me for years like they've been helping a lot of you in this area. They've been around here in Middle Tennessee since 2007. Dr. Jeffrey Lodge is the board-certified physician over there, and his wife, Daphne, is the registered nurse, and their experienced staff want to improve your quality of life, and I hope you want that like I do. Who doesn't want to improve your quality of life? As we all get older, things start happening. Things start breaking down, or, you know, things that maybe you've never experienced before creep up, and you're like, what's going on? Well, they house so many things under one roof, whether it's a hormone replacement therapy, if you've been feeling off or sluggish or just not the same, you know, get up to you, and you're just like, man, what is going on? Well, go over there and talk to them about that. They can check your levels. They tend to go down as we get older, and they can get you on the right path. Face and body rejuvenation, weight loss management. Boy, there's an important one in 2020. We get it. Your local gym was closed for a good while. You got out of your routine, and you haven't gotten back into your routine, and you've put on some unwanted pounds that you would like to get rid of. Well, they've got programs and people that can get you going in the right direction. If you need to schedule an appointment or a consultation over at Cool Springs MD, dial this number, 615-283-7291. That's 283-7291. Or you can always go to their website and learn everything about them, coolspringsmd.com. Don't forget, Titans fans, Corner Pub is your place to check out game day locations. Their locations, Bellevue, Brentwood, or downtown. Great beer specials, including $1 off Yazoo and Happen Harry's draft beers, plus Happen Harry's bucket specials. Pre-game show will be there, the one downtown, the Corner Pub downtown, this Sunday, as the pregame show will be there from 9:30 until 11:30 a.m., getting ready for kickoff for the Steelers and the Titans. And, of course, it'll have Jared Stillman, Floyd Reese, and forever Titan receiver Chris Sanders. And that's brought to you by Wholesale Link, powered by Rumble On, Farm Bureau Health Plans, and Kubota Tractors, Middle Tennessee Kubota dealers. Want to give away, speaking of Nissan Stadium, let's give away, Chase, some tickets to tonight's Nashville SC game.
Let's put people in the stands tonight.
As they take on FC Dallas.
Yep. All you have to do is call us, caller 5-615-737-1025, and you will win a pair of tickets to tonight's game as Nashville SC takes on FC Dallas. Those tickets will be emailed to you, so it's very simple. It'll go right to your phone. Caller 5-615-737-1025.
There you go. And I think that game is going to be on FS1 tonight.
It is.
Watch it if you're not going to be able to be in attendance.
It is. So you will, on the radio side, similar to how it used to be with the Predators, you will hear the TV crew tonight of Tony Husband and Jamie Watson. So they will be on the call with us on 94.9 starting at 7:15.
There you go. Good stuff. I was reading something from Pro Football Focus. Most forced missed tackles this year in the NFL for running backs. Who do you think is number one? Who has created the most forced missed tackles?
I will say the guy that plays here, Derrick Henry.
Derrick Henry is tied for second with Mike Davis from Carolina. Of course, he's the replacement for Christian McCaffrey. So Mike Davis and Derrick Henry have forced 27 missed tackles this season. But that's good for number two.
Okay. So who would be number one? I don't know.
He played last night.
Oh, Clyde Edwards-Helaire?
Mm-hmm. Yep. Okay. Number one. 29 forced missed tackles. David Montgomery is right behind Derrick Henry, along with Josh Jacobs. They're both tied after Mike Davis and Derrick Henry. Then you've got Dalvin Cook and Devin Singletary tied after that group.
See, I didn't guess Dalvin because he's now missed some time, but
yeah, and by the way, Buffalo? I know they've played Tennessee and Kansas City, but didn't look great.
Well, you and I talked about it last night off the air. Were we all fooled a little bit? I mean, I still think they're a good team.
They are, but are they a little bit more on their pretender side, possibly?
Well, and don't they always say that once you get into, you know, weeks 5 and 6, that's when you really start to see who's for real and who isn't? And I think that now we're starting to do that. Now, that division is going to be interesting because Buffalo leads the division at 4-2, but you now have Miami that has come into the fold at 3-3. New England is 2-3. The Jets are out of it, as we know. But it's a three-horse race right now with probably leaning more towards Buffalo and New England. You know, who knows what Tua's going to do? Does Tua come in and light it up for Miami and actually give them a legitimate shot? We'll see. But, yeah, Buffalo, they've had some tough circumstances the last couple weeks, but I think we're seeing that, you know, Josh Allen is not the MVP quarterback that everybody thought he was.
By the way, things down in Big D are getting worse by the minute. You seen this?
Oh, no. I know. Evidently, I saw that Jerry Jones was not in a feel-good mood.
Evidently, the Cowboys players are becoming very, very disgruntled.
Oh,
and
yeah,
it is starting to get out that they are saying stuff about this current coaching staff. And I quote, "totally unprepared. They don't teach. They don't have any sense of adjusting on the fly. They just aren't good at their jobs." Yikes.
Mm-hmm. And how much of that is...
yikes.
Yeah, that's not good. How much of that is directed at McCarthy, and how much of that is directed at, you know, the assistants or a combination of everything? But still, no matter what, if you're Jerry Jones or members of the front office of the Dallas Cowboys and you're reading that or hearing that, whew, not good. But, they're playing like it. They're playing like they're unprepared. That's the product you're getting right now.
Well, if you can't adjust in the NFL because you have to make adjustments, you're toast.
Yeah. And look, Mike McCarthy, I don't think he's the best coach in the world, but the guy did win a Super Bowl. Granted, it was with Aaron Rodgers, but he's a decent coach. At least he has been in the past. So is he going to get this turned around, or?
I don't know. I always said Mike McCarthy was overrated. I used to say that for years.
I don't think you're completely off base there, but I've seen.
Overrated.
He's better than the guy he replaced, I would think.
Who's the DC in Dallas? Mike Nolan?
I actually don't know. That sounds right, but let me look that up. Because
their defense is atrocious. I think it's Mike Nolan. And my guess is sounds like some of that's because the defense is the real, real problem. My guess is some of that may be coming from the defensive side. I mean, by the way, did you see just how on the third and two or whatever, the late in the game. They just hand the ball off to Kenyon Drake, and he goes for like 70 yards and a touchdown.
Yeah, it is Mike Nolan.
With 2 minutes to go, and it's like, wow. I mean, they just look like they just were like, yeah, see, we're done here, man. You guys just go on, take it to the house. We're done. I don't even know if anybody touched him.
I don't think so. I mean, that was bad. I had flipped away, and then I turned it back on, and I saw that, and I just shook my head. I was like, ugh. Here we go. But, yeah, it is Mike Nolan. It was Rod Marinelli under the old staff, and then they brought in Mike Nolan. Leon Letts on that staff as the assistant defensive line coach. And then the former 49ers head coach, Jim Tomsula, he's coaching the defensive line. So, I mean, they have some experience, but clearly something is not working right.
Tua has been named the starter down in Miami, so a lot of eyes will be on the Dolphins game. They're going into a bye week. I was trying to look up who they have after the bye week, because there's going to be all of a sudden real attention put on the Miami Dolphins now that he's been named the starter moving forward. See, their first game out of the gates will be at home against the Rams. Is it me or the Rams by far have the most the longest travel schedule of anybody in the league thus far?
It seems that way.
They played the Giants and the Jets, and I realize they stayed behind.
Yeah, didn't they stay in like West Virginia or something?
They
like
played
that?
At Philadelphia. They played at Buffalo. They've played at Washington, and now they're going at Miami. That's a long – by the way, L.A. to Miami, that's a long ways away. Whew. So they went to Washington, they went to Buffalo, and they went to Philadelphia. So I was thinking that played the Giants and Jets. Oh, that was the 49ers.
Yeah, they were the ones that stayed in West Virginia. But still, I mean, it is a brutal schedule when you have the NFC West playing the NFC East. But it's what you get. I mean, you have to do it every 3 years or 4 years or whatever it is, and they're gonna have to travel. But I think the NFL does try to do a good enough job where if they can send you one way for a couple weeks and you can just make arrangements to stay, then that's what you'll do. I remember the Titans a few years ago. I think they were playing. They played Arizona, and then was it Oakland?
Seattle,
then they stayed on that side.
Yeah. I think it was San Fran, wasn't it? Arizona,
yeah,
then
yeah,
San
yeah.
Francisco.
Yeah, that's right.
Because they lost to Jimmy G.
Yep, they did. And I think that was that Malarkey's last
And they
year?
Lost to Blaine Gabbert.
Yeah.
He was the Arizona quarterback.
Big game Blaine. Yeah, I remember that. So, I mean, a lot in some teams just elect to come back. But it would make sense to me to stay. But, yeah, the travel, I mean, it's brutal when you have to play across the country like that. And just think about if London ever does get a team, what that's going to be like.
Tomorrow, the attention will go into real – by the way, I had a good conversation with Charlie Batch today on the show to start the third hour in Pittsburgh, former longtime quarterback, part of their broadcast crew, just talking about this Steelers team that's coming to town. And for all those that think that the Titans have kind of been overlooked, and Jeff Fisher kind of said that, and he was used to that as the head coach, right? Not very many people nationally ever talking about the Titans. Well, you're going to get the discussion piece this week because all eyes on the NFL world are going to be on this Titans-Steelers game. There's no doubt about it. It is going to get tons of national attention. I've already seen it. NFL Live is breaking it down a bunch. Good Morning Football today I was watching there. I mean, so, look, they're going to be talking about this. This game is going to get tons of attention. And, of course, the Titans will hit the practice field tomorrow, and it's going to be now game planning for the Steelers, which is going to present lots of problems.
Yeah, and I think the NFL screwed up too. This should be a primetime game, and it's not. It could go back to the conversation we had with Jeff Fisher yesterday of just everybody being like, oh, yeah, the Titans, you know, they're 5-0. But I think the fans want to see this game on primetime, but it's going to be a 12 o'clock game. That's what it is. But I think this is by far the biggest test for the Titans this year. This is a really good Pittsburgh team. You have a healthy Ben Roethlisberger who is determined and seems to be back in his element. So it's definitely going to be a fun one to break down.
That'll do it for our show today. We'll be back at it tomorrow morning at 10 a.m. Enjoy the rest of your beautiful day here in Middle Tennessee. Be safe. We'll talk to you tomorrow at 10 a.m. See you then. Let you out into the world. Closing time. Turn all of the lights on over every boy and every girl. Hey guys, it is Ryan. For years, Chumb has been setting the bar for online social casino fun, and it just keeps getting better with new games released every week and daily bonuses to collect. The fun never stops. So claim your welcome bonus now at chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 21 plus.